Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day. God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. It's so fun to have bells again. Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Listen now for the word of God. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, We have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Attracting fish, then attracting people. There is what's called a law of attraction. I don't know if you've heard of it before. Some people have made it famous through a book called The Secret, but it actually was an ancient idea as one of the forces of the universe that they talked about back in ancient times even. Now, focusing on things that make you happy increases your chances of attracting things that make you happy. And the other side of this is the negative side. When you focus your mind on things you are not happy about, you tend to attract more things to your life that add to already what makes you sad. That is the theory of the law of attraction. You attract into your life what you focus your mind on. And looking closely at everyday life, you may realize that the law of attraction may seem to be present many times. The author of the book titled The Law of Attraction, Zachariah Albert, said, "Most people do not notice the connection because of the time lag between their thoughts and the manifestation of their thoughts. However, there are some things that happen to us that we feel happened as a result of just coincidence, not knowing that it may be the law of attraction at work. For instance, have you ever thought of calling a friend, and then the friend calls you all of a sudden around that time? I think that's probably happened to many of us. The law of attraction is involved when you get more of what you focus on in life. I used to work with a psychiatrist who helped the Iowa wrestling team win their matches by visualizing in their minds before the match, doing exactly the right moves at the right times. They would begin a match with first deep breathing and center themselves, and then they would look in their mind, seeing the perfectly executed wrestling match in their heads, one move at a time. And gymnasts and figure skaters have also now learned how to do this. They do this before they compete many times. They go through their routines perfectly in their minds. And many will not watch their competitors before they themselves perform, just in case their competitor falls, because if they see a mistake, it will stick in their minds. They only want to see everything perfectly performed, so they ignore the other athletes' routines as much as possible in case they mess up. Now, today's story in Luke is about how Jesus shares abundant life with people, and how miracles happen when Christ is present. How he attracted not only people to him, but also fish. Like Simon Peter, we might be ready to give up fishing or doing whatever we are trying to achieve, but if Jesus comes alongside us, suddenly there is new hope for a brighter future. The fisherman in this passage today won the lottery of fish, thanks to Jesus. But then, can you imagine, they decided there was more to life than being rich, and they dropped everything to follow Jesus' way of being in the world. So imagine you won the lottery and then you were willing to just give it away so that you could follow Jesus. That's hard to understand, isn't it? But that's what they did, basically. And this story also teaches that in the presence of Christ, when we witness his divine way of being, we are able to see and confess our own sins and weaknesses. And that is one of the reasons we read the Bible and study Jesus, to understand really how beyond divine he really was and how weak we really are and how we need to confess and really be humble. Like Simon Peter, we realize how frail we are in the presence of the Holy One. The holiness of Jesus should humble us, should help us to be authentic, and inspire us to shed our egos to follow Christ to the end. Now, there is so much in this story to apply to our daily lives, but I want to focus on two subjects to ponder. First, what is it about the way Jesus taught the Word of God that attracted so many people to him? And then how can we be authentic disciples of Christ and help this church attract people today? First, what is it about the ways of Jesus that attracted people? Basically, the way he taught was just not with words, but also with actions. Love in action. He embodied love in action. The reason we are still attracted to Jesus is the way he was in the world. His way was a way of compassion, a way of hospitality, humility, healing, and wholeness. He sacrificed himself for us, and he gave his whole self to his ministry of healing and wholeness. He showed complete love and unwavering faith and trust in God. Now, isn't that an attractive way to be in the world? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Jesus encouraged people to know what the kingdom of God was all about, and then to seek out that knowledge, which then leads to righteousness in our own lives. That's why we do a Bible study. That's why we really encourage reading the Bible and praying, because it really helps you know what way to be in life. If we seek to live spiritually in the kingdom of God, we will seek to be inspired by the words in the Bible about the kingdom of God, which is what the Bible is about in general. The kingdom of God is mentioned more than 80 times in the New Testament, and the teachings of Jesus Christ revolve around teaching the kingdom of God. Then, when we understand what, quote, kingdom living is all about, we will desire to be righteous in our own lives, living as Jesus showed us how to live. When Jesus was teaching the word to the throngs of people who came to him, he was teaching them how to live righteous lives, not boastful ways of living that would set them apart from others. He was teaching them to live in a way that focused on helping others, being humble, and to be a loving, peaceful, and hope-giving presence in the world. In Matthew 6, Jesus is encouraging having our minds focused on the kingdom of God in our daily living. It says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall I eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Then he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Matthew 6 then ends with this quote, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, that's the English Standard Version way of saying it. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, which I've never heard that way of saying it before. And the New Revised Standard Version says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." And then a healthcare translation of this that I translated myself might be, do not worry. Then your mind will be peaceful and your blood pressure will be lower. It's all connected. God's positive spiritual guidance that Jesus taught is still exactly what we need to hear today, isn't it? We are in need of God's wisdom as much as the people were in need of it back in the ancient times. Now, in honor of Black History Month, I'll share a few quotes each week from a devotional book by Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman, and I have his image here, who was a Baptist minister colleague of Martin Luther King Jr. We hear a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. at this time, but we don't hear so much about his colleagues and his friends. And Howard Thurman was the first Black dean of Boston University for many years, and Thurman was known as a model of the marriage of mysticism and social action, and the marriage of religion and politics. He was raised by his grandmother, who had been a slave, and she taught him to read, and later he wrote over 20 books, became a professor, and pastored a few Baptist churches before he founded the first ecumenical church in San Francisco called the Church of the Fellowship of All Peoples. Thurman said, Jesus was attractive to people because he lived in a very tumultuous time without letting the hardships impact his mental well-being. Jesus was able to let go of anxiety and worries. He truly promoted peace and love and justice in all that he did. When Jesus was tense and tired, he went off to pray. When he was scared in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. When he needed a break from his healing and teaching, he went off to pray. And Howard Thurman wrote in his devotional book called A 40-Day Journey with Howard Thurman, he wrote that Jesus taught how to live one's life with confidence that transcends discouragement and despair. And we all need this now, don't we? We all need this confidence. I think the pandemic has kind of broken down a lot of our confidence, and we need to build that back up again with the help of our faith. It's too easy in this pandemic to get discouraged and to despair and feel like we'll never be normal again. But maybe we should not strive to be normal again. Maybe we need to be more spiritual in our living than we have ever been before the pandemic. Thurman suggests that one does not have to depend upon favorable circumstances, approval, or the felicitation of friends. Now I had to look up that word, felicitation. And it means when friends express praise for an achievement that we make. So he's suggesting that we don't depend on those kinds of things. Thurman emphasized having personal freedom in life means having a focus on your relationship with Jesus. Thurman said, we don't have to depend on outside forces in our lives for happiness. He said, achieving the goal should not be measured by some external standard, but it is to be measured by loyalty to your purpose. The key to having peace is to have it in your heart. Now think of the Tokyo Olympics and Simone Biles. She prioritized inner peace in her heart, and she focused on her mental health over getting more gold medals. Biles settled for silver and bronze last year, and she has a total of 7 Olympic medals in gymnastics, 4 of them gold. And she's now a great advocate for mental health and wholeness. She's a great role model for other athletes and for all of us who can typically feel great pressure from outside forces rather than looking within to what brings them joy and happiness. The key for one's peace is in the heart, Howard Thurman said, and we should pray for those whose lives are disordered, fragmented, and purposeless. He said to pray that they may achieve a quiet inner purpose and vitality. pray that they might surrender themselves to the loving embrace of God and choose God's way as the goal for their lives. That is a prayer for all of us and for all of us to pray for one another. And now, briefly, my second question that was inspired by today's scripture passage is for us to ponder, how can we be authentic disciples of Christ and help this church attract people to us today? When people meet you at the grocery store or in your neighborhood, and it's been hard, I know, with the pandemic, but do you feel like they're attracted to the way you behave in this world? We are the church collectively, wherever we go. And so wherever we go, we're either attracting people or pushing people away from us and from this church. So if you're putting out negative vibes, then that hurts not just yourself, but it damages all of us as a church family too. Who wants to join a church with negative vibes coming out of its doors? But if you have a general demeanor of hospitality, optimism, joy, and hope, then people want to know how you became that way and why. It is your job as a disciple of Christ to personally show the world your love for Jesus in your personal daily life. Love all who cross your path for God's sake. You are the hands and feet and heart of Jesus here on earth. And if you want the kingdom of God to flourish, then attract people to the Church of the Roses where we can help them. Help God's kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you are grateful for God's love and mercy, then show that gratitude by counting your blessings daily. Then share the abundant life you have been given by God's grace with others in need of it. Take time to center yourself in God each day. That inner peace in your soul will flow out to others after you take the time to connect to God. Give God time each day to reassure you in silence that you are beloved and you will be okay no matter what happens to you in this life. There will be a life to come after this one. Now that is attractive, isn't it? Your life will shine for all to see on behalf of Jesus. Your peace will be contagious, and you will help others not be anxious about the troubles in the world. Your hope for a good future will help others not give up hope, and your faith will be a great example for others to follow. You can do it. I know you can. But that desire needs to come from your heart. And if you don't feel you have it now, then pray and focus and ask God for it. And watch our church grow and thrive into a good future along beside you. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses radio program this morning. We encourage you to go to our website at www.churchoftheroses.org and donate. We'd love to have your help keeping our roses blooming and all of our outreach programs growing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.